Hello and welcome back to the Colts Cover 2 podcast. I am Indy Star Colts insider Jim Aiello, and I am joined, as always, by fellow insider and co-host Joel A. Erickson. Joel, I feel like we're living in like Groundhog Day. It's training camp. Colts starting quarterback's hurt. We don't know how long he's going to be out. Maybe he'll retire. No, I'm kidding. Sorry. I don't want to. Starting off with a little humor. Lighten the mood.
I don't know if the listeners are going to think that was funny.
Do we know he's not going to retire?
I prefer not to answer. Fifth Amendment.
So,
First Amendment.
Colts coach Frank Reich. I'm sure you all heard the news. I will recap it quickly. That's what we're going to be talking about, that and Jacob Eason in totality in this podcast. But Colts coach Frank Reich returned to practice today after being away from the team with COVID and broke the news that Carson Wentz is going to be having surgery on his foot to remove a bone.
A piece of a bone.
A piece of a bone. Sorry. Yes, I know. This is something that is bothering Joel.
This bothers me.
It is a bone. It's just a little fragment.
No. If you say you're going to remove a bone from someone, in my head, you said you're going to remove something that's supposed to be there. They're removing something that's not supposed to be there.
It's like a saw.
This is a piece of a bone.
Yeah, we're just taking bones out. Okay, sorry. He's taking out a piece of a bone, a fragment that came
out. The reason Jim laughed so hard was that it was reported by...
You can say it.
A national reporter.
You can say it. Who got things wrong about the Carson Wentz thing the whole time. You can say
That they're going to remove a bone from Carson Wentz's foot. And I was like, that's not it. That's not what he said.
I think Joel's being sensitive since this particular reporter was just wrong about a bunch of Carson
Wentz. It's also misleading. It's also a misleading way to put it. That's not what Frank said. What Frank said was... A piece of a bone came loose.
Right.
Is what he said.
It's from an old high school injury.
And if you remove the entire bone after the piece of bone came loose,
Carson Wentz might retire. Yeah. So they're taking the fragment out. It's an old high school injury. They said, like, it just seems incredibly weird timing, bad luck, that kind of thing that had happened. Just a random step.
You had to say that, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I actually didn't mean to, but I feel good about
terrible
it. I feel
person.
Good about it. So
direct all angry emails and tweets at Jim.
So
Jim is the one doing this to you.
What Frank said pretty much was that it didn't seem like rest and rehabilitation was ever really on the table. I think everyone would have preferred that. They would like to have avoided surgery if possible. But it seemed like from the get-go, they knew that was going to be where they were going to have to go. So he is now out 5 to 12 weeks, which again we're going to get into this, but it's a very wide range.
Yeah.
And so that puts him in potentially returning either right before the regular season or after missing 7 games. So huge
it's
range
a big
of outcomes.
Difference. It's a big difference.
So yeah, we'll talk about all the ramifications of that, but that's the news for today. And then the follow up would be that he named Jacob Eason the starter. Do they have faith in him? He's the guy for now, assuming that he earns it and proves it. And we'll get into all that as well. But that's the news of the day. That's the news from Colts camp. Nothing else matters. Sorry, everybody else that had a good day.
It's kind of fair.
Yeah, no, it is. That's what it is.
If you want to know about who else had a good day, just read observations.
Yeah, Joel will have observations.
The observations are actually not going to be about the quarterbacks. So
it's because we have 3 stories up currently about the quarterbacks right now. And we'll talk about everything we wrote about, which is to say, you know, that's the main focus of the day. So let's rewind. And I will ask you about your expectations for the season and how this kind of puts everything in flux. But let's start with the 5-12 because I feel like that's the most confusing part for fans and for anybody that was like, wait, why?
And I'm going to throw out my caveat here that Jim and I are, in a surprise to everyone listening, not doctors.
That's not true. I stayed at Holiday Inn Express last night. Sorry, I'm having too much fun with this. So
we're going to have a little bit of trouble explaining this in super medical terms. We're basically going to tell you what Frank Reich said. I know you probably have some medical questions. Ask your own doctors. Please direct all questions to your primary care physician.
I've seen a bunch of people saying, I'm optimistic. I think he's only going to miss 6 weeks.
If your friends,
I was like, no one knows.
If your friends are an orthopedist, that might help.
It won't because they haven't seen the X-ray.
Well, at least the orthopedist would know more than I do.
True. Well, just what we know is what Frank told us today, Frank
yes.
Reich. So
I found out a new term today.
Metatarsal.
Excise.
Okay.
I knew what a metatarsal was.
You didn't know what excise was to get rid of something.
I didn't know it was a surgical thing.
Ah. Oh, I see. Okay, that's fair.
I didn't know it was a surgical. Also, this is just a plea. I'm just going to put this out there on the podcast to make all the medical people mad. Why can't doctors just say what they're doing? Why does it have to be excise? Why can't they just say we're cutting the boat?
Taking it out.
We're taking this thing off.
Digging on in there.
It's very confusing.
Because I don't want to scare the hell out of you.
It's very confusing for the rest of us.
Excise is a much more comforting word. So wait, why to 5 to 12 weeks, Joel?
Because for whatever reason, when you do this, there's just not a real good way to know how your bone is going to respond.
Right.
And so on the short end, if he starts moving around on it in a couple weeks and it feels good, they'll be like, hey, this might be a 5 week thing. If it feels really terrible, it might be longer than that. I think we all know sometimes too. I think one of the things that helps though is it's not, from my understanding of what Frank Reich said, it is not a fracture in the bone that will stay in his foot.
Okay. Keep going. What is it then?
Well, he said a piece broke loose.
Right. Okay.
And if it was a fracture within the bone, then my assumption would be that part has to heal. And then you could run into, like, what if the bone doesn't heal properly or whatever. But it doesn't sound like that's what they're doing. This isn't like putting screws in or, like, you know, with Devin Funchess' collarbone a couple years ago where the bone just didn't heal. It doesn't sound like that's what they're doing. They're taking a piece of bone out and seeing how the foot responds.
Right.
I could be wrong.
No. I mean, it sounds like
that was my understanding of what he said.
So what was confusing to me, I guess I will say, is that when he said is the other option was rest and rehabilitation. I mean, that they could.
So you just leave the piece in.
You just leave the piece in there, and then the rest of the bone will heal around it, and he'd be playing through some pain. Like apparently, but then Frank said they didn't want to go down that road because they were worried that something might crop up later.
They were basically worried that they would get into the season, be 6-2 halfway through, and then lose their starting quarterback because the piece of the bone...
Yeah, move to a place where it's hurt again? That's honestly what I don't know. Like, what was the threat of, like, does the bone... Because the bone's going to still be in there if you don't take it out. The piece of bone. Sorry.
One is taking a bone out of his foot.
So, I guess my question would have been, was it just going to be floating around in there and they were hoping not doing any damage to, you know, the surrounding...
That is my understanding of what Frank Reich said.
Okay. So that's probably why... Again, that's why they want... Ultimately, what he said was they wanted something with the most degree of certainty. And the most degree of certainty, let's just take out this fragment, and we know that it'll be over with.
Well, that's the biggest thing, is that it's the same thing as... it's a little bit of the same reasoning that went into the Eric Fisher signing. It's trying to take the long view up rather than the short view.
Right.
And trying to play for having the player for the longest amount possible rather than taking a chance and either, like in the Fisher scenario, it would have been not signing Fisher and having a worse player in there in the Colts estimation. In this, it's the thought that you could get going in the season. And I mean, I think we all know every game in the NFL counts, but it's easier to weather losses at the beginning than it is at the end. It just is.
Yeah, that makes sense. And again, I think they think if they can get it out of the way and they're on the early side of that recovery timetable, 5 weeks in, he could be ready for week one. Now, I guess we can get to this next part, is what version of Wentz will
and also, actually, real quick. So here's the best way to explain this, I think, and it's by drawing on something that happened elsewhere in the NFL. Michael Thomas of the Saints, the Saints all-pro wide receiver, decided not to undergo surgery early this offseason. He wanted to wait. He didn't want to do it. This is for me reading my people back at the Saints. And Sean Payton said that, and he didn't have surgery until June. And Sean Payton said it should have happened earlier. The Saints and Michael Thomas decided not to have it. Now that he's having it, he's going to miss a very significant chunk of the season, and it could have all been avoided if they had just done the surgery at the beginning.
Right.
That's what the Colts are trying to avoid. The Colts are trying to avoid the idea that they waited around hoping it would get better, and then when it doesn't, because it's a piece of bone that's not supposed to be in your foot that's loose, that it ruins the rest of the season.
Frankly, that's what I wanted when we started hearing about surgery or no surgery. Frankly, I thought that was, again, I didn't know what the long-term diagnosis, we weren't operating with a lot of information, but I'm almost always, get the surgery, get it over with, fix it, and that way you can move on.
Well, and it makes sense. I mean, if not, you're sitting there every game, every time he scrambles, every time he runs, you're going, please don't move.
Well, and selfishly, as a reporter, I'm going, do we have to say he wasn't very good today, but he is playing through pain and he is playing through an injury, and like,
right.
What's the caveats you got to use? So now he has a surgery, and he will, and it, again, Frank Reich said throughout the rehab process, he will still be feeling pain in that foot. It's just going to be...
Yeah, he'll probably be playing with pain when he finally gets back on there.
It's going to just be what's a manageable amount of pain. He actually kind of used some of those same phrases that he used with Philip Rivers last year when he was dealing with an injury in his foot, and said he was just playing through it. The pain was manageable. They started holding him out, I think, Wednesdays, I want to say,
yes,
of practice, yep, just to kind of give it, you know, a day off, and maybe Tuesdays. I can't remember if they just gave him, like, Monday, Tuesday off. But anyway, they started giving him time off, time to rest it, and then he played through it.
DeForest Buckner, too.
Right.
DeForest Buckner, too, at the end of the season.
Manageable amount of pain. So that's what it's going to be. I don't think Carson Wentz is going to come back from injury, not feel a thing.
Well,
and
they hope,
surgery,
and they hope that once, if he comes back while he's playing with pain, that it would continue to get better.
Right.
And then eventually he'll be good to go.
So, and the other thing we should know is that we will start getting to ask the questions about Carson Wentz. The other part, and very important part of this timeline, is that Frank Reich said you'll have the surgery, which, what time is it now? It's 3:20.
He has it in 40 minutes.
40 minutes. He's scheduled to undergo surgery. 2 weeks after this, after the 4 o'clock surgery, is when Frank Reich said you'll start to know and have an understanding, somewhere in that 2 to 4 week area after surgery.
So we'll start asking the questions essentially after the Colts' first preseason game.
Right. That's when you'll start having an understanding of, okay, is it getting better? Is it trending toward the 5 week, the 6 week, 7 week return, or 12 week return? Is it not getting any better? Is he
and
still
ultimately,
feeling a lot of pain?
We'll get a real, like, the final answer will probably be, if he's not already back at practice. I think the final answer will be when the Colts make their roster moves. If he ends up on PUP, well, then you know it's a longer thing.
Yeah, that's a good call. Actually, and we can get into this in a little bit, but if they make a significant addition, a veteran.
That would be another reason.
Another good indicator. But let's not get into that just yet. So now my question to you, I want to ask you about, is Carson Wentz, I think, needed training camp, and I think needed the preseason to work out some of those wonky mechanics, to maybe just regain the confidence in himself, to regain his understanding of Frank Reich's offense, to do all of those things. Now,
well, and build chemistry.
Right.
With his receivers.
Another good one. A lot of things that he could have accomplished in training camp this year and in the preseason this year that we know for sure he's not going to get, because even on the earliest timetable window return, he's not playing in the preseason. He's out. He's missing all three
Correct.
Games. And so I guess my question to you is, how much at this point do you think that hinders him and hinders the ability for him to have a rebound season after what was, again, a dreadful 2020 season?
Well, it's going to matter. I mean, it's going to matter. I think that last year, I don't think we gave enough credit to how much that affected Philip Rivers early on.
Yeah, you made this point before. It's a really good point.
That they only got 2 weeks of training camp last year before the season started, and that it's a new quarterback, it's new teammates, and we all talked about how that would be tough for everybody. And then as soon as the season started, we just forgot about it, and we're like, this person should be ready to go. I do think that there's going to be an issue there. Now, Reich did say that once he starts rehabbing, that he can do some walkthrough stuff. It's still not the same as playing at speed. It's not the same as throwing to guys at speed. So I do think this hurt. Obviously, this hinders him. I mean, you want to go through the install. You want to start feeling what Michael Pittman's going to do. You want to start feeling what T.Y. Hilton's going to do.
And he's got some of that because they worked out during the offseason together. Some.
Right. But it's not the same as going against the defense
right. And
making adjustments. Like, that's the biggest thing, is making adjustments based on what the defense is doing and seeing the same things.
Funny that you say that. I feel like I saw Carson Wentz make more line adjustments, make more calls at the line during this first 2 days of practice. It's only 2 days of practice than Eason has made the entire time.
That feels fair.
I mean, I'm not to say that those were good adjustments or Eason needed to be making some. I don't know, but it just seemed like Carson was doing a lot more at the line of scrimmage than Jacob Eason has done so far.
Well, and that makes sense. I mean, Carson is an experienced quarterback.
Oh, no, for sure.
And Eason, as I think we we keep reiterating, is essentially in his first training camp.
Yes. It's definitely going to be a big leap for him, but I want to stay on Wentz for now. I guess it's funny that Frank Reich kind of said today, I don't know how you read into these comments, but he actually said he was happy in a way for Carson, because it's like another hurdle he gets to overcome on his road back to redemption. And it was like, he's like, I'm not happy he's hurt, but I'm happy he gets to overcome this. And I was like, I think that's still weird. I mean, the guy's got enough hurdles in front of him.
Frank he acknowledged this today. It was pointed out by another media member. Mm-hmm. Frank said he was optimistic, and the media member said, well, you're always optimistic.
Yeah.
And Frank admitted that, yes, that is his bent.
That is it.
Frank Reich's instinct is to turn lemons into lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what that was.
I get it, but also I just kind of froze. I was like, nah, this is not good. Like, you would prefer that he had all of training camp in the preseason to get
ready. It's bad.
I respect Frank's ability to turn things into, you know, good, positive.
But Frank, yes, Frank is unfailingly optimistic and continues to be that way. And so I think that's what part of that was.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the other thing is that we've seen this before from Frank when the team gets into situations that are bad. They're obviously on the face bad. Like, he usually responds by getting energetic and amped up and trying to inject life back into the team. I felt that today. Today's press conference felt a lot to me like not the night of the game press conference after Andrew Luck's retirement.
Yeah.
The first one back at the facility when I think just about everybody said, wow, that was exactly like the kind of message you want your coach to put out in this situation.
Yeah, he was incredible that night. I honestly think this is kind of who he is in the face of adversity, in the face of 1-5, in the face of Andrew Luck retiring, in the face of the Cleveland Brown Philip Rivers game where he was abysmal. Like, he just always is ready to bounce back, always believing in his guys, and it's usually worked out. The message usually gets
across. That's why he's got a comeback history. It's because he doesn't wallow in adversity.
That's a good sign for the Colts. But I guess, I mean, unless you have anything to add currently on the Carson Wentz situation, I think...
They are not removing a bone from his foot.
We should reiterate that.
Regardless of what has been tweeted elsewhere.
And I've said, apparently, on this podcast.
They are not taking the bone out of his foot. That would be silly.
I guess the other thing I will ask you about before we move on to Jacob Eason, because part of that faith and that resilience that Frank Reich has is going to be... relied upon on Jacob Eason mentally. How do you think this affects? We asked about that. Frank Reich said it was a gut punch to Carson Wentz for about two hours.
Yeah.
And then he started to already kind of like, this was like a meant to be thing. He's going to get past it. But mentally, again, he went through a lot, not just physically in his time in Philadelphia, but mentally he went through quite a bit. You know, the falling out with the coaching staff, however that went down, or even some of his players.
This has to be frustrating.
I mean, you can't.
Yeah. It has to be frustrating. The hardest thing for an athlete is for, I feel like one of the hardest things for an athlete is when your body doesn't respond the way you expect it to. And in this case, he didn't know that he had this in there.
Right.
I know I saw some people ask about physicals and whether or not this would get caught. I'm just going to be honest. I don't know if they x-ray every part of a player's body.
I think they do. You know what's the funny part is I think they would during when he was being drafted. And actually Frank Reich was part of that process.
Yeah, that would be the time to do it.
And so he might have known about it back then, but I don't know.
Yeah, there's no way to know. I mean, obviously it wouldn't have been the Eagles would have had surgery on it if they would have noticed it at some point.
I mean, again, you do the physicals when they have a trade too. The Colts would have done that, but I think the most thorough one they would have done is during the draft process. So if anybody knew about it,
but usually the way they talk about that is that doctors examine known injuries.
Okay, I thought they did like MRIs and scans of most body parts, but again, you might not know.
But they might not. I honestly don't know, and I don't know that we've ever, in asking those questions, gotten a real answer on that.
It also wasn't, I mean, you might have seen like the hairline, like fracture of a bone that was about to break off, maybe, but I don't, again, this is stuff we really can't answer.
No, I don't know enough about.
Whoever asked. I mean, I'm
full disclosure, I'm really at a loss here. I've only broken like one bone.
Really? I broke my foot.
I broke my nose.
But I...
Is a piece of it going to come off?
Yeah,
soon?
Maybe. That's what I'm saying. I broke my foot. Maybe more of it'll come off later.
So, podcast listeners, be aware.
I'm just surprised the amount of sports that you played growing up. I thought maybe you'd broken more bones.
I've only broken my nose. I dislocated. There's a very small bone between the bones of your fingers.
Yeah.
And that got knocked out of place. But that's it.
I've broken a bunch of my fingers. Partway tore my ACL. Broke my foot. Twice actually.
Some people are more durable than others.
Yeah, Those are a couple of football injuries, basketball injury. Yeah, so good stuff.
I have softball teammates who listen to this podcast who I'm going to get text messages about my hamstrings from last year almost immediately.
Good
after that comment. So don't worry. I'm going to get.
You didn't tear them though, right?
No.
Just strained?
Well, I mean, any strain is a tear. We learned that from Ryan Kelly 3 years ago.
All right, so let's move, like I said, unless there's anything else on Carson Wentz you want to add, I want to move on to the Colts' future at the position. And by future, I mean...
Immediate future?
The immediate future is Jacob Eason. And Frank Reich made it pretty clear today that he's in the driver's seat. He is the quarterback one for now. I think that is, again, he made it pretty clear. He's got to prove that he deserves it. He's got to prove that he can do something with it. But right now, they don't seem like they're bringing in any other quarterbacks outside of Brett Hundley. Until and unless Jacob Eason shows them that they need to.
Well, I think there's an obvious reason. They don't know if Carson Wentz is going to be back before the start of the season for the next 2 weeks.
I guess that's a reason, but I'm not playing that game.
You're just going out and getting somebody?
Yeah. What if he gets out for 7 or 8 weeks?
That's true.
And Eason isn't good
in
the
preseason. And then you can have somebody here
learning the offense.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. But I think the way... I mean, we could be wrong, the way Frank talked, like they were going to see what they have with Eason and then make a move later if they have to.
Hundley has been a backup quarterback before, so it's not like he hasn't been in that position.
Right.
But I also wouldn't say that he's a guy that you could necessarily count on to go win you games either.
I can definitively say you cannot count on him to win games.
Good quote, though. I'll say that.
He had his chance to do that in Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers got hurt in 2017. It did not go well.
He wasn't good. I agree. So I guess my point is I don't love the idea of saying, well, we'll wait and see how Carson is.
I think that's what they're doing. I think we have all felt all off season. I mean, I know you and I talked about it and tried really hard to find out which veteran quarterback we were signing.
We certainly did.
During free agency, only none. To find out the answer is none.
Zero.
And I think, I don't know, maybe we should have criticized them harder for this, but I don't know that I've kind of always felt that there was going to be a veteran at some point.
I thought there would be at some point too, but now with Carson Wentz hurt and you don't know the scope of how long.
Go get one. Mm-hmm.
I think you put the, again, even if Jacob Eason comes out and runs through, who are the first two preseason, Detroit and Minnesota?
Carolina's the first one.
Oh, Carolina and then Detroit.
Carolina, Minnesota, Detroit.
God, I gotta get that right in my head. I'm going to Canton this week, okay?
So you have to go to Minnesota, so you need to know what time that is.
Yeah, but that's at the end of the thing. So.
No, it's the middle one.
God. It's fine. I'm going to Canton this week. Anyway, my point being is Eason could be great.
I promise Jim will be in the right places, guys. I promise.
I had too much coffee today.
Did you break your foot again?
If Eason is great against Carolina, if Eason is great against Minnesota, then you can cut that guy loose, I guess, if you want. And
I mean, you still shouldn't probably.
And Carson Wentz is like, oh, he's going to be back in a couple weeks.
Right.
And you can cut that guy loose.
Yeah, that you definitely can. I mean, you can make it a part of your roster cuts at the end.
But again,
the Patriots cut Brian Hoyer.
I honestly, again,
at the end of training camp that 1 year,
I would give up a 6th or 7th round pick to have that certainty. I just would.
Yeah, and especially if you're making the decision to have surgery with the idea of planning for the future. And who knows? Maybe they're saying one thing and doing another behind closed doors. Maybe somebody will be here soon.
Let me ask you this. I know everybody doesn't want to. They're like, oh, we already give, you know, we the Colts gave up draft capital for Carson Wentz already. Don't want to do that again.
I don't care about 6th or 7th round picks.
Yeah, I was going to say, Chris Ballard is possible.
He'll get him back.
Is what? The top 5 drafting talent evaluator? Can we name a 6th or 7th round pick that's had a major impact on this team?
Not major. I mean, lots of like role-playing types, but not a...
I mean, what's the best one? I mean, we'd have to pull up the list, I know, but...
It's, It could... I think it's probably going to end up being Isaiah Rodgers. But...
And Jordan Glasgow's had a good start on the special teams.
There's a lot of special teams, like Zaire Franklin, Matthew Adams. Matthew Adams actually might be the most successful one in terms of defensive play, snaps played, because he's played, like... Before they got Okereke, he was the starting Sam. So I think, I'm trying to roll back through my head and see if there's anybody else.
I'm pulling up the history as we speak on my phone. All right, here we go.
But I think it might be Matthew Adams is the most effective so far. Before, I think Isaiah Rodgers is probably the highest upside.
Before this year, it was Windsor, Rodgers, Patman, and Glasgow. So both guys are, you know, again, nothing wrong with any of those guys. Before that, Patterson, Barton, Gary Green.
None of them are still here.
Zaire Franklin, Matthew Adams, Deion Kane. Fine. No, he didn't have, and he didn't have one in. He only threw 5. So there you go.
So yeah, it's special teams.
You trade any of those guys for Nick Foles? 100% every time. Yes. Gardner Minshew. Yeah. Yep, every time. Like
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I don't have.
And any, I have no regrets.
I don't really have any argument against that because you're trying to prepare for this eventuality that he might be gone.
And if he's not, great. Then you don't worry about it. You
and
don't use him.
And if Easton beats the guy out, fine.
Yep.
And actually, if you get him by the end of training camp, somebody else is,
you might be able to flip him.
Yes.
Yeah, yep.
You might get the same pick right back. So yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't have any counter argument. I think they should probably go get somebody.
Get somebody. And again, if it costs a veteran a sixth or seventh round pick, do it. Again, if we're starting to talk about a fourth or fifth, then I understand the hesitation and the concerns because those are valuable picks and you don't want to give up a lot more than you
Well, need. Especially for Chris Ballard. Fourth and fifth round picks are starters.
I totally agree. But if we're talking, and again, if it's Gardner Minshew, I think if I'm the Jaguars, I'm saying it's a fourth or fifth round pick minimum because it's my division rival and I'm right. not going to give him away to him unless you overpay.
Right.
So to me, Nick Foles, who for all intents and purposes, was pleading his way out of Chicago today.
What a remarkable press conference from Nick Foles.
I mean, he's a great interview, first of all. So it would be great for, again, selfishly great for us if that happened. But he pretty much said, I love Frank Reich. Did he all but say, I would love to be playing in Indianapolis right now?
I don't know if he said it. He basically said that.
Yeah.
I mean.
And the Bears, again, the Bears are in a position where they're probably going to have to cut him. Because they don't want to spend all the money on him.
Right, because they have.
And he's their third round.
Fields and Dalton.
Exactly. He's their third quarterback right now. So feels like an easy match. I
very weird, as an aside, to have Chicago have an embarrassment of riches at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, embarrassment of riches, just put these in quotes, like in heavy, heavy quotes. But it's I guess it's a sign. It's not good for Indianapolis if you're looking at Chicago's quarterback room and being envious. Never good. Though,
that's an excellent point.
For the last, two decades, that hasn't been true. So,
yeah, I think I'm with you. I think you just go get somebody and
I think this doesn't. We
work
haven't even
out
talked
the consequences
about Jacob
later.
This doesn't reflect on Jacob Eason at all. That's not even again.
No, that's not why you're making the deal. You're doing it just because you want to have as many options as possible.
Yeah, you talk about competition. I'm sorry, and you wrote a fantastic piece on Sam Ehlinger, and a great person. I'm not seeing an NFL quarterback. I'm not seeing a guy who's going to push Jacob Eason, he's looked better in camp at some points. But I'm not seeing that. Jalen Morton certainly not. We just talked about Brett Hundley. No, bring somebody in to give Jacob Eason some competition. For the number two job. And if he wins it, great. That's what you were hoping would happen. If he doesn't, now you have a backup plan.
Yep.
Literally.
Yeah. No, unassailable.
Okay. So let's talk about Jacob Eason and what we've seen so far. I don't think there's any way to get around it. It's been ugly. It's been bad. But I also don't... You talked about it. He hasn't had a real training camp. That's 100% sure. I think, honestly, and I wrote this in observations a couple days ago, I would have been more surprised if he just came out and lit the world on fire because that would have been stunning.
If he came out and lit the world on fire, I think we're going, so now what?
Yeah. and especially against the Colts' number one defense, he's never faced number ones ever in any form in terms of the NFL.
Right. I mean, I think it's important to once again say he threw 36 passes in training camp.
And he's almost double there, right?
And by comparison, Phillip Rivers' last training camp threw 188.
It's... He's supposed to be starting slow right now. Now, there have been some concerning moments, for sure. The four interceptions aren't good. The fact that he's very slow in his progressions right now, seems to hold on to the ball a beat and a half too long. Again, concerning. But you also would expect some of these concerns from a guy like this.
You would. But I agree with you. There's been too many sacks. I think he took four today by my count.
That's what I had as well.
He has not been super accurate. He's at roughly 63% for the five sessions so far. Even some of the completions have not been placed well.
Yeah, even like his best
for instance, there was one today.
You knew you were going to go there.
Michael Pittman got free on a flag, corner, whatever you want to call it. He's angling towards the sideline, mm-hmm. deep. I think you call that a corner now. It's flag in my head from like high school.
Yeah.
But he's wide open. And he had two steps on Marvell Tell.
Thank God, because
it was open.
It
was open. And Eason, for all of his arm strength, underthrew him. And Tell almost broke it up.
Yep.
Now, it was a fantastic play by Michael Pittman. And I think one of the things that's going to go in observations is just Pittman's just general toughness.
Yeah. Also, the ability to go up and get it at the highest.
The ability to go up and get it, yeah. Which I don't know we got to see a lot of last year.
No, there weren't a lot of those.
Was something that I think is interesting, but you'd like that ball to hit it, Pittman in stride for what probably would have been a touchdown. The safety was kind of there, but he would. I mean, we've seen Pittman run in the open field before. He would have had a shot. The lack of big plays, I think, is concerning.
Yeah, I think Carson Wentz still has more big plays than Eason, and Eason's had three more practices.
The lack of big plays is a concern for me. The Pittman one really was the first one of any consequence.
He doiled on the sideline on Saturday for about 15, 16 yards.
He said two throws to Doyle that were in the 15, 16-yard range. Right. Another one of those was one of those ones we're talking about where the placement wasn't great. There was a ball he fired over the middle, and Jack Doyle had no business catching it. And he did. He contorted his body and flipped around and made this incredible catch.
Yeah.
But it was also a ball that should have been in front of him and should have been easier for him to catch. The Buffalo should have been running in the open plane, and instead he fell down.
No, in terms of explosives, though, I think you're right. I think it's just the Pittman one. There was
a throw to a running back today, Darius Anderson.
Yeah.
A wheel, I'm assuming.
It was a wheel route.
It was
yep.
a wheel, yeah. Yep. He was on a wheel, and same kind of thing. Yep. Ball was behind him a little bit.
Put a lot more air under it than I thought he was going. Like, Eason's got a cannon. I just get it there. Like, he put a ton of air underneath to loft it. I didn't know why.
Yeah.
If not only to let the defense get there faster. I don't. But the other thing was, too, and you don't generally watch Eason in 7-on-7s. You usually go watch the offensive
I am an obsessive one-on-one pass rush guy.
Right. And I was watching 7-on-7s today, which, and I'll tell you this, and the reason Joel doesn't like watching them is that quarterbacks should complete all of their passes pretty much. As I said, the thing about 7-on-7s is everyone's open for the most part, like, or can be for a minute.
Yeah, because there's this thing called a pass rush.
Yeah.
And usually it complicates things.
I didn't have the numbers today, but he's missing a lot of open receivers, holding onto the ball a long time in 7-on-7, which is just, there's no reason for it. Today, Jack Doyle was running a corner route, and he went, hey, and it took Eason, I think the noise finally got his attention because he finally clicked right when he was running by himself and finally threw the ball to Doyle.
I saw the end of that play. I was too far away to hear it.
He was open from jump, and
it was an absolute Buffalo play.
Just blown coverage. Like, yeah.
Absolute Buffalo play. Jack was all by himself.
And it took Jacob Eason about, like I said, a second and a half too long to see it, in my opinion. I don't know if that was the first read or not, but when Jack's yelling like that, you know he wanted the ball right away. And so, again, I hate bashing him, but the reality is this. We're telling you what we see, and what we've seen is not good quarterback play so far. We're also telling you that probably shouldn't be a big surprise. So, like, at this point in his progression.
Yeah. Well, and one of the other things I think that's important to note is that the pass rush has been pretty relentless.
Yes.
When they've done 11, like some of the, when I cite stats, that's what I'm citing. I'm citing 11 on 11, and that's what I'm charting. And the pass rush has been unbelievable, in part because of the tackles, but I think in part because some of the young guys have looked pretty good.
They have. I mean, they have, but no pads, and I think Matt Eberflus told us the other day that the offensive line will be better with pads.
Yes.
And hopefully that's true, because they were abysmal today. Not only did they let up four sacks, which, again, some their fault, some Eason's fault. They also had three false starts.
I thought so. Frank said something about offsides in his press conference, which made me worry that, like, I had seen false start when it was an offsides, but
I know at least two I felt pretty good about, false starts. But I thought we had three, or tracked three. So. They weren't good today, is my point. So maybe
they were the only position group that had to run after the practice.
I think it had something to do with the false starts, and again, just not being able to protect Eason or
Ellinger. Which is something that doesn't normally happen. They don't normally run after the practice. So
no, and Frank, he didn't let us in on exactly what he said to the team afterward, but it was a long speech.
He was not happy.
He was doing a lot of pointing and was talking loud, but again, not loud enough that we were so close that you could hear it. But he definitely didn't seem happy. So
Frank said it was a positive message.
It probably was, because it's Frank Reich. But it's like, I know you can do better because today wasn't good. One of those things, like, confidence in you, but also bad. And you're gonna
And he also said that part of the message was that the twos and the threes were making mistakes that weren't up to the standard, because they're going to be ones at some point. You can't play like that. And he said it wasn't acceptable, which I think for Frank is like, I think if Frank says it wasn't acceptable, I think that's really bad.
Right.
That's a word I can't say on a podcast.
The offense the last 3 days, pretty much since Wentz has been gone, has been just awful and blown away by
the defense. And I think did we podcast after that day? After the second day? We did.
Yeah.
For people who just don't remember, like, the thing about I think the hard thing for the Colts is you could really see it with Wentz.
Yeah. Just that
the
just
day
that,
the
yeah.
day that he got hurt, you could really see it
from the second session of his first day, because he had that one where he was a little bit jittery. Yeah. First two sessions not great, and then the last couple sessions of his first day and the second day, you could see it.
you could really see why Frank thinks he can be a franchise guy. Like he just has the mobility and some of the identification.
Yep.
And the arm strength. You could really see it. And he was pushing the ball down the field. He's making plays with his feet. You could really see it. And I think that's the frustrating thing for the Colts is he would like to sort of build on that during training camp here, and you're not going to be able to.
Yeah, that's a huge disappointment for him and for Wentz because, again, it's this guy that just really could have used a really like a good preseason.
Also for us, I mean, full disclosure, I was planning on writing an off-day observation that was just quarterbacks because Wentz is here, Easton's here, Ellinger's here. It's all these unknown commodities. And we're probably not going to do it now because without Wentz to anchor it, like I was, you know, intrigued by the idea of watching Wentz.
Yeah.
And we're still going to do it with Eason. We're still going to talk about him, write about him, everything. We're going to bring you what we're seeing, but it just doesn't have as much oomph.
No, and the Colts offense won't if he's the quarterback. Honestly, even if he does play well in the preseason, they're just not going to be as good as they were with Wentz, which is, again, not a shot at Jacob Eason.
That's just expected.
It's funny. I talked about this with you before, and I wrote it in my story, but Chris Ballard, when they drafted him in the fourth round, he was getting all upset, I think, about, oh, the Colts drafted their quarterback of the future. They drafted the quarterback of the future, and that was some stuff out there. And he was like, hey, pump the brakes, okay? Kid's a fourth-round pick. We didn't pick him in the first round.
He's a quarterback.
And he said, let's be careful, but we start calling him a messiah. And, he didn't use the word savior, but messiah's pretty close. Like, they kind of need him to be there right now.
Maybe.
If they don't go out and get a veteran, he's going to be the half the guy that keeps them afloat if Wentz is out for, more than... Again, you don't want to start the season 0-2, 0-3, even if he only misses a couple games. Not to say that they would have or they wouldn't have.
No,
started.
I mean, I think we all know the stats about 0-3, 0-2, like how hard it is to come back from those starts to make the playoffs.
And those are going to be tough games anyway. It's Seattle, it's LA, yeah, it's Tennessee's, I think, week 4, missing week 3. It's another tough game.
Dolphins.
Though. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, so yeah.
Dolphins, Titans, Ravens.
Oh, it's week, okay, so it is Titans week 3. I can't remember. Yeah, you're right, though. It's Miami, Tennessee, I just can't remember if it's 3 or 4. As you guys heard from my preseason knowledge, I tend to flip these things.
Because yeah. Jim has a bone loose in his foot.
In my brain. And I don't think that's supposed to be there. No, I just...
You might need them to excise the bone.
I will say Frank Reich handled today as much as you... First of all, he was about as honest as he possibly could be about everything.
Which was very important after a weekend of reports.
And some well, I wouldn't say misinformation, but wrong information.
Yeah, so misinformation.
Yeah, I guess misinformation. misinformation makes it sound like it was intended, and I don't know that was...
Well, it was wrong.
Yes,
it was wrong.
I guess that's disinformation. Anyway, I think the Colts are still in a position where they don't have to panic yet. But I do, like I said, we just talked about it. I don't see the downside in getting a veteran quarterback.
I don't either.
And bringing him in. And if Jacob Eason is shaken by that mentally, then you know what? He probably wasn't your quarterback.
Yeah, I don't either.
This is a guy who should embrace competition and should embrace the idea that I'm going to beat out a veteran. I have the superior arm strength and all that stuff. He knows he should know the offense better than anybody they bring
except
in.
Except Foles.
Right. If it's Foles, yeah, that would be tough. That would be tough competition, I should say. But again, Jacob Eason should be able to handle that. He's an NFL quarterback.
One thing that we will know by the end of this, if they don't go out and get a veteran, because here's the thing, if they go out and get Nick Foles right now, Jacob Eason immediately becomes the backup again, regardless of what they say.
They won't say that.
I know they won't.
Guess.
But, well, I mean, will any of us think that?
No. Especially not the way Jacob Eason has started training camp.
If they don't bring in somebody right now, if they allow Jacob Eason to go through training camp, I think we've been saying for a year now, the Colts have been saying for a year now they don't know what they have in Jacob Eason. We've been saying for a year now, we don't know what the Colts have in Jacob Eason. By the end of this training camp, we're going to have a pretty good idea.
We'll have a better idea, yeah. I mean, I think by the end of preseason at least, right? You include that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, preseason for me, the last third game is the way the Colts have set up this camp is the effective end. Because they're still practicing out here at Grand Park right up until the third game.
Okay. So, and we did, by the way, that was an interesting information that I wanted to make sure I asked Frank Reich this is because Jacob Eason is your starter, presumably. And starters don't generally play a lot in the preseason.
As of this moment while we are taping it.
Yes. Starters don't generally play in the preseason.
You pretty much talked me into being really nervous about trade news breaking at any second.
Sorry. But that's the truth. It should be. They should be looking.
Yeah.
But Jacob Eason's going to play a lot, which, again, is kind of risky because he's your starter. But he also has to play. So, and Frank Reich said pretty much said that.
Well, I mean, he's not going to get any more experience by not playing.
I know, but you're exposing your starter to injury in the preseason, which is why most people don't. But that's what they're going to do. And they should. I mean, again, they should. Ultimately, I think that's the right decision.
There's a Tom Moore quote here about not practicing a bad word that feels like it's relevant right now. Colts fans, I think, will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think they... Yeah, I just, like I said, I don't think there's any reason not to go get a veteran, especially at this point when you don't know. I don't want to, you know, again, we talked about that window of 2 to 4 weeks after surgery. I don't know that you want to wait that long.
Yeah.
Why roll those dice? I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, especially when there's no drawback.
Unless you think, like I said, unless I'm crazy and they think Hundley is more than I think he is.
No, I don't have any different opinion. I think it would make sense to have somebody in here who...
And I'll just go through it. I mean, you don't think it's... Listen, 2 years ago, we saw a sixth-round rookie quarterback take the league by storm for a few weeks and then have a pretty good year. His name was Gardner Minshew. He was a sixth-round rookie.
They're not going to get him because he's a Jacksonville Jaguar.
My point is, could Sam Ehlinger be that guy? I at least have to ask the question.
Oh, we don't know yet.
Right. I don't think so because I think the odds of that happening are
he's
very rare.
He's thrown, at this point, 21 passes, I think. It's not. He hasn't thrown a lot. He's thrown somewhere between 20 and 30. I would say this. His arm strength isn't like the other quarterbacks.
It's
Sometimes I feel like he's more decisive in the pocket.
I agree. He has to be, because he doesn't have that arm strength.
Than Eason. Sometimes I feel like he's a little more comfortable moving around. But no, nothing that would lead you. Not that I think anyone thought Gardner Minshew was going to.
Well, that's
that,
my point. I guess you can leave it open for that happening because they did it with Minshew.
But who did Minshew beat out? Didn't he beat out Mike Glennon or somebody?
I think. Glennon, yeah. And the other one I would say I bring
good
up...
Lord, don't bring in Mike Glennon.
No. The other guy I would bring up... I honestly, I was trying to figure out else for my story, but it was just too much like digging to have to go through. But I can't remember the last time, and I'm considering Jacob Eason a rookie at this point, like whose first active game as a fourth-round pick. Dak Prescott's the only one I could think of as a start, and he just won the job in camp. I don't know that it's happened very often.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody either.
Another thing about with a guy like Dak, and I don't, you know, it's one of those things about Jacob Eason that you just have to work
around.
What
about Kirk Cousins?
He's a second round pick.
No, he wasn't.
Almost positive. I can look it up. But the other thing I'll say about Dak is that he was mobile. I think mobile quarterbacks have an easier time coming in. So was Gardner Minshew.
You can especially with the mobile guys, then you can create these packages that make it harder for the defense and sort of take. A lot of what the defensive advantage against a rookie starter is that they can be more complex, but if you can get the defense thinking, you've sort of mitigated that, and that's what mobile quarterbacks do.
Oh, he's right. He was a fourth-round pick because it was the RG3 draft, but he didn't start then, his first game.
I have no idea.
Well, I think RG3 started.
He probably came in for RG3 after an injury, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Why do you think
he was a second-round pick?
I don't know, Jim.
Strikes me as a second-round pick, I guess. Anyway.
This is how Jim loses bets that he never pays up.
I didn't. Hey. I'm going to pay that bet. Marlon Mack should have caught 10 passes. You guys.
Oh.
To
Colts fans who are beside themselves because of the quarterback situation, I apologize for the humor in this podcast.
No, but they need it.
But that's how I would feel. I would need it.
I don't know if we're bringing it, but you could just find, if we're not bringing it, find some humor somewhere else because right. You could use it right now.
Ted Lasso is a wonderful show.
Yeah, its second episode was great too. Yeah. I think that's all I got. I don't know if you got anything else on the quarterback situation. We'll learn more as we go. Well, obviously, like you said, like Joel said, we'll be covering it extensively. I think we'll probably podcast. It might be a little bit more delayed, this next one, I'm guessing.
Oh, because of Canton.
Because I'll be in Canton Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and come back Monday.
And this is only a 3-day session before the first off day.
Right. So we probably won't come back again unless they add a veteran quarterback in that time.
Then we would have to.
An emergency podcast, which this kind of was in a way. So, but it was good timing because we hadn't done one in a week. Or just abouts. So, yeah. I think that's it for us on the Colts Cover 2 podcast. Thanks for joining us. Sorry if we were flippant. But, you know, you got to handle these situations with the humor. To help lighten the tension a little bit, right?
I would think so.
I certainly hope so. Thanks for listening.
And if not, there's ice cream.